Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Listen to Rahimi Harrison Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. We broadcast live from The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers.
Like it.
Did we all just start immediately dancing to the song? A little Outcast never hurt nobody.
Robbie, like, said, guys, coming back, just music. I said, well, you better make this music better be good if that's all you're coming back with.
I like the horns. When the horns come
this
in.
Is so, yeah, let's let it wait, because then we're going to talk about something
XRT?
That isn't as fun. No, this
no,
is
no,
an XRT.
Not XRT.
There it is. This would also be like a good end of show track too, but psych, we have another hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Tim Jenkins, our film guy, is at one.
Can't wait for him. Yes.
Yeah. Well, here's what you could have waited for. The Bears shot themselves in the foot with a bunch of penalties. We didn't get to this when
Ouch.
It came to the Lions game because, well, it didn't entirely make a difference when you lose 52-21, but it does give you an understanding of the situations that they are dealing with. As we've mentioned before, we knew they had penalty problems in game one. I was a little more lenient, though, because I said to myself, this is a brand new offense, so you're going to have a lot of false start penalties. You're trying to work through cadence. I know that that was going to be the case. I think Darnell Wright got robbed on one of the holding calls that was just good offensive skill out of an offensive lineman. That was not the case in the game against the Lions. They still had penalties, but this time it was 8 for 50 yards. So that was down from 12 for, you know, 127 at the time. So 8 for 50 is a lot better. But it was the down and distance situation that really put them in a bad place. The Bears had a 2nd and 32, a 3rd and 26, a 2nd and 34, and a 3rd and 34. Those numbers aren't even real. I like, there's only so much you can do in those situations, and that's kind of the problem too. Now, a second down and a long is much easier to convert. You can eat up a lot of yards. I feel like the Bears were able to do that, but regardless, when it matters, when it's not going to be such a vast spread, these are the things that will count against you in a one-score game.
Yeah, and we talked about the fact that only the Titans last week had more, in week one, that is, penalty yards than the Bears. Now, the Bears currently rank 3rd in the league after everybody's played 2 games. The Giants and, of course, the Titans, as mentioned, have the most. And at least the Giants played some extra football, so maybe that's why they have more penalty yardage. But the 177 on 20 penalties, not a great look. And I think it's got to be the most frustrating thing going on right now for Ben Johnson, because that's the one thing you can, for the most part, you talked about the phantom call. That's the one thing you can't control is what happens before the ball is snapped.
And like the Drew Dolman hold, it's so hard to legislate holding, especially on offensive linemen. There's like an imaginary line you cross, because the theory is, you know, you can call holding every play.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And you know what? I'm gonna go with Patrick Manilli. Patrick Manilli.
Patrick Manilli.
That's right. It's Patrick Manilli. Did you get him his Lexapro, by the way? Did you rush that out
20,
over?
Right?
I'm on it, yeah.
Robbie, please don't acquire drugs
now
when you don't have a prescription to do so.
He's going to get a melatonin.
That's for Marshall. Marshall's got the sleeping problem. We're going to get him some melatonin. Yeah. Patrick Manilli said he was depressed about the Bears, so I wanted to start him off on 10 milligrams of the Lexapro. Maybe we move him up to Provasic, but that's when things are really serious.
Maybe we just suggest one of his long snapper IPAs for him.
That would probably do the trick. My guess is he had probably many of those after his post-game show, but...
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw On Demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
What Patrick Manley did say was, you know, it is a reaction of us and myself. I'll just use me. Like when you hear about penalties, and we did this with Matt Eberflus, and we did this with his predecessor, Matt Nagy. When things are undisciplined, we blame the coach. Patrick wanted none of that. He said that is on the players. Yeah, of course the coach sets the tune, but he can only say, don't make penalties so often throughout. So I thought that was interesting. And going forward, I will take more care when it comes to who to blame on penalties.
I think it depends on what you know they're trying to do. You know, when it's lazy penalties, when you know somebody's just not doing what they're supposed to.
Or roughing penalties.
Or even, let's use him as an example. I thought they were going to call a personal foul if the shoving match between Tyreek Stevenson and Amon-Ra St. Brown at the line of scrimmage went on any further. You know, those are the ones where I'm like, really? Really?
Remember Javon Wims going after C.J. Gardner-Johnson is his name?
Yes, if I can instill one thing to everybody listening, do not hit somebody wearing a helmet.
What about with a balled up fist?
What good does that help?
Just don't hit somebody wearing a helmet. It is not going to do what you think it does.
Do not hit somebody with a helmet. Or what if they have one of the fluffy foam things on the top?
That's actually a good point.
The Guardian cap?
Yeah,
that's even worse. It does even less at that point.
Oh, that's true. But it's a softer land for your hand.
Yeah.
That you're planning on injuring by hitting somebody?
Well, yeah.
You're already putting more thought into this than they did.
I punched a locker in middle school and broke my hand. So there's that.
I've punched a wall with soundproofing on it after I spent like 2 hours editing a piece for my sportscast in Austin, and then the computer messed up and it deleted the entire thing, even after I saved it.
Marshall, did you ever punch a wall again after that, or did you?
No,
you
I learned from that particular mistake because being in a cast is not cool.
Yeah,
especially not in middle school. Especially when people ask what happened. And yeah,
did you play baseball in high school?
Yeah, I played baseball.
Did you break your finger at any point? Because if I did,
I would have told someone, and I probably would have sat out while my finger healed.
I broke my finger several times playing baseball. It's just a rite of passage. If you play hard league baseball, you're going to break
your
finger.
Did you play big league baseball?
Not even close. I couldn't even make it past my sophomore year. Are you kidding me?
By choice, man. But yeah, that's my one lesson to you. Don't hit somebody wearing a helmet. And you'd ask yourself, Layla, why do you have to say something so obvious? How many times do we see it happen in a season?
Okay, so can I be positive for a second?
Got them into these situations. What got them into these situations were a couple false starts, as we mentioned, a hold, you know, those types of things.
I kind of expected this on the road. They did have less penalties and less penalty yardage than they did at home. That's why I expect this weekend, back at home, that they'll have even less. So I think there is a scaling down of penalties. That's what I'm hoping. Maybe I'm being overly optimistic, but it makes sense that you would have more penalties on the road than you would at home. And they didn't. They scaled it down. I think they'll scale it down even again now that they're back at Soldier Field. You don't agree with that, Grody?
No. I was just going to say, I love the idea of, I love this bit, say something positive. We should do that.
Oh, no. I only say things I actually believe, and there's not much positive to say right now.
I'm just saying, you could always find something positive. Well, even if it's not sports, I think there's a segment waiting for us. Maybe we need to fine-tune it a little bit, but say something positive.
I love Layla's shirt today.
Oh, Whitney Houston.
It is
I'll
a sick shirt.
Love you.
It is a sick tee.
I do love this shirt.
Yeah, it's nice.
I love Whitney.
Who doesn't?
Gone too long or gone too
soon. She's what we call an elite talent.
Yeah, I miss her. Coming up next here on Remy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, I actually think we are going to see here some positive out of what Tim Jenkins has to say coming up next. He is our resident film guy. He studies quarterbacks, and you will hear him coming up next.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw On Demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.